Hello and welcome back to Dropping the Hammer with Daniel McFadden. I'm Daniel McFadden, and we're here for week three of the podcast, but week five of the NASCAR Cup season just concluded, and we're going to talk about the NASCAR Cup Series race at Atlanta Motor Speedway this last weekend, which was won by Joey Logano.
And the car that has led 139 laps today is going to lead 140. Joey Logano dominates Atlanta for Team Penske and Ford. First win of the season for Ford. They break the Chevy stranglehold on Victory Lane this year, finishing one.
Joining me again for here on week three, it, as always, is the newly Wikipedia official, Jared Haas. Jared?
I am glad to be on here, and boy, oh boy, do we have stuff to talk about at Atlanta. I mean, we had a tale of 2 days between the Truck Series race and Xfinity race and the Cup Series race, but at the end of the day, Ford is finally back in the Cup Series Victory Lane for the first time in 2023.
That they are. But before we get to the race, which was won by Joey Logano, first I wanted us to like share a little bit about ourselves for the people listening who don't know who they're listening to, other than, hey, they work for the Arkansas Democrat Gazette. So first, Jared, I'll start this off briefly. Just share a little bit about how you got into NASCAR and what was the first NASCAR race you ever went to.
NASCAR Thunder 2003 was a big influence. I got that for Christmas in 2005. I played that game pretty well. I liked that game pretty much, and I was loved playing it. And my dad, one February afternoon, was switching the TV channels, and he had to, back in the day, had to switch it to the local channels. That was when Dish and local were separate. He turned it on, NASCAR was on there, and I was hooked ever since. Then 1 year later, I was at the 2007 Daytona 500.
Oh, wow.
Even met Mr. Excitement Jimmy Spencer himself, as I was with the program with Sit With Jimmy t-shirt. And I think I have a t-shirt somewhere.
So you played a NASCAR video game before you ever actually watched the race?
Correct.
That's a weird chicken and egg type thing right there. Like,
but it worked. I mean, I got it when I was 9 years old, and here I am, and been covering in basically NASCAR since 2020.
Okay. Well, I've been a fan of NASCAR since the mid-90s. I was raised on it by my dad. He was an Earnhardt fan, so I became an Earnhardt fan. And he snagged tickets to the inaugural Cup race at Texas Motor Speedway in 1997. So that was both our first race was that first trip to the house that Bruton Smith built. So yeah, I've been for over 25 years.
Yeah.
I've been following sports. So, and here we are podcasting about NASCAR.
I mean, we, like I said, working the dream.
All right, so let's get down to business. The Ambetter 400 at Atlanta Motor Speedway, won by Joey Logano, his first win of the season, his first win since he clinched the 2022 Cup title. He dominated this race. Jared won the first stage, won the race. He led a total of 140 of 260 laps. This was his race up until he and Brad Keselowski had an incredible duel over the last few 20 or so laps. Gets the win. It is his first NASCAR Cup win with Team Penske, with in a race in which Shell Pennzoil wasn't the primary sponsor on the number 22 Ford. That shocked me. Would you that surprise you?
A little bit. I mean, he was kind of competitive in the AAA cars, Auto Club with them. But, I mean, Logano, the fastest car that day, won that race.
Oh, yeah.
And it's kind of shocking that, you know, that usually doesn't happen in super speedway racing. It's usually like luck and skill. And Logano, though, he had to pull off a resounding pass. I believe it was with two laps to go, right before the white flag. He led the last lap, but Logano drifted up high. Looked like a similar situation with Chase Elliott versus Corey LaJoy in the summer race, but Logano was able to get past Keselowski, and Logano was able to capture the checkered flag.
Well, if you remember, Brad Keselowski was my pick to win the race. And at the white flag, I thought he had it. I thought he was pretty much had it sealed, but then Logano got a big shove from LaJoy, and that helped him get by him there on the last lap. It wasn't a photo finish like we were used to at the old Atlanta back in like 20 years ago, but it there was a last lap pass.
Yeah.
Atlanta. How about that?
I mean, it was something. It's definitely something to get used to that Atlanta, it was a different track than what it was, than what it is now. I mean, it's still the super speedway package. It's not where it's that side-by-side battle, which lane's going to prevail, going really high against the wall or really low, and aka Harvicking. But, you know, it's different. I think fans are still trying to get used to it. But it's going to be tough. Like I said, it was tough for – I was surprised that Logano was able to make that pass because it seems to be not really – I wouldn't say impossible to get the lead, but you would battle back and forth with those, like I said, with the inside and the outside lane. But it was hard for, you know, one driver to dominate besides Joey Logano.
Well, the first two stages of this race were not anything to write home about at all. I think everyone on NASCAR Twitter was ready for it to be over, and I was too. But like, as with even non-restrictor plate races, the first two stages being kind of ho-hum is kind of par the course. And then what happened in the final stage, they ratcheted it up.
Yeah.
And it was an incredible, like, so the last 43 or 44 laps went green that at a restrictor plate race. That's incredible. Like usually with restrictor plate races, I just want a clean finish. Can we just have a really awesome run to the finish? And it never happens.
I mean, we saw the sentiment in the media center by quite a few of the drivers that there wasn't a lot of respect, especially during the super speed races, because it seems ho hum. This is the last lap. Nothing really to lose. Just drive a pilot in there when we're already four wide. Maybe I can make this hole work to go five wide to gain five positions. I think drivers took that to heart, and they saw what happened on Saturday, which was a much more caution-filled speedway race, super speedway race.
Both the Truck Series and Xfinity races broke track records for cautions.
I think the Xfinity Series race, even though it was about 100 laps shorter, was about the same time length of the Cup Series race, only 9 minutes shorter for the Xfinity race compared to the Cup Series race.
So Joey Logano comes home with the win. He beats his former Team Penske teammate, Brad Keselowski, Christopher Bell's third, Corey LaJoie from Spire Motorsports. He gets his best career NASCAR Cup finish in fourth. Tyler Reddick, who was dealing with some sort of illness before the race, finished fifth. Denny Hamlin sixth, Ryan Blaney seventh, Eric Jones, 8th, Ty Gibbs, 9th, and Kyle Busch, 10th. So just in general, the last stage was great. Can't believe they went 43 to 44 laps without a caution. Here's what Joey Logano had to say about racing against Brad Keselowski, who's also an exceptional super speedway racer.
I mean, I know Brad really well, on and off the racetrack, right? And, you know, I know he's going to do anything to win a race, and rightfully so, right? I wouldn't say our racing mentalities are very different. And that's why, you know, I feel like we get along well, but we also sometimes have clashed on a track every now and again, not very often, but, you know, we both race really, really hard. So, you know, I felt like we're definitely going to duke it out. But, you know, when I got to his outside, it was either he was going to wreck or we were going to just race and, you know, hopefully he was going to get the big push on the bottom. That was his only hope there. So it just ultimately ended up working out fine. But, yeah, I mean, it's fun racing with him, to answer your question, I guess, because you kind of have an idea of what he's thinking a little bit. But and also with TJ, right, he's a spotter, and he was my spotter for years, so I kind of have an idea of what information TJ's feeding him, and it all just kind of worked out for us.
And like ourselves, Logano was also surprised that the last 43 laps went green, and here's what he had to say about that.
Yeah, I mean, it happens every time, and if you watched a truck in Xfinity race, well, you would probably bet on it. There was going to be a caution at the end of this thing. And there was a few, but they never really ended up being like really big crashes. Everyone did a good job at avoiding them. And, you know, I think one of the biggest things is that everyone bolts a lot more grip into their car when they come here compared to Daytona or Talladega. They get their cars trimmed out more. And, the cars are able to take a push better. Right? I mean, think about how hard we were hitting each other. If you did that at Daytona, you wreck. So the seems to me the fix is just a little bit more grip, allow everybody to, you know, be able to handle their race car. And honestly, Goodyear brought a better tire, and the teams have learned a lot, too. So a lot of the cautions before were from tires popping. We didn't have that today.
All right, so during that rundown, Jared, of the top 10, we mentioned Erik Jones in eighth. After the race, a video kind of went viral on Twitter of the onboard camera, or in the cockpit anyway, for Jones and his number 43 car. I'm pretty sure, did you count the cars in the video, that the amount of cars he passed on the last
lap? Like, he was like 15th and he went to eighth position. So that's about a good handful, about seven cars that he went through. And we haven't, like I said, haven't heard about that back. I'll be asking him. That'll be one of the things I'll be watching for. Ask him how he was able to do that. He cut through the middle.
Yeah, it's a video game thing.
Yeah,
it's like that one of those challenges on like one of the NASCAR heat games. All right, you have one lap to get from 17th to 8th. Can you do it? That's what it looked like.
Well, that's how I got my start in the NASCAR too. So it's always fun to see, you know. And it kind of flew under the radar, too, of like, here's Erik Jones, all of a sudden just shows up. But good run for Legacy Motor Club. They kind of struggled out of the gate. They've had been involved in wrecks. You know, Noah Gregson hasn't had the best of runs. So, good, you know, I think it's a good stabilizer for Legacy Motorsports, Motor Club, excuse me, to get a top 10.
Well, I from watching the video a couple times, I think he passed 9 cars.
He was outside the top 10. I think he was around 15th area, but he passed quite a few cars on that last lap.
All right, we're through 5 races of the season. Let's do a rundown of the points, Mr. Jared. What does it look like after 5 races on the season?
Well, I mean, Logano's leading the points as regular season points, but, you know, you can just take this paper and just rip it up when it comes to playoffs, because already Alex Bowman, even with the 100 points, is 20th, and he's within, you know, striking distance of making the playoffs, already back again with points. So,
yeah, I mean, we should update everything we talked about last week with the potential points against Hendrick Motorsports. That all came to pass.
Yes. Like I said, they are appealing with the louvers that happened that were taken away at Phoenix. The penalties are applied here. If it is appealed, it gets the 100 points will get put back. But in the time being, right now, Alex Bowman has 85 points and is 20th in the standings.
So who follows Logano in the top 10?
And it's going to be Christopher Bell, Ross Chastain, Ryan Blaney, Brad Keselowski, then it's Harvick, Kyle Busch, Martin Truex Jr., Denny Hamlin, and Daniel Suarez round out the top 10.
And the top 3, Logano, Bell, and Chastain, they're only separated by 5 points.
Yeah.
So kind of close there, only 5 races into the season.
Well, I mean, there's not a lot of races. I mean, it'd be more impressive as later in the season, but I mean, that tells you, like I said, 1 point, one bad race, it's going to knock you back, you know, 5, 6, 7 spots.
So, and given that the penalties against the Hendrick team, the driver with the most playoff points is Joey Logano with 6.
Yes.
So, all right, fun little factoid after Atlanta. In all 3 races, Saturday and Sunday, were won by cars that had Georgia-based sponsors on them. You had the Napa truck in the Craftsman Truck Series race, which was won by Christian X, which was the first time a Napa sponsored truck, primary sponsored truck anyway, has won in the truck series since 2002, which was when Brendan Gaughan swept races at Texas that year. So, and then you had in the Xfinity Series, which was won by Austin Hill. His Bennett Transportation Logistics is based out of McDonough, Georgia. And then, of course, you have Auto Trader, who sponsored Logano, which is also based out of Atlanta. So, all right. Just wrapping up this opening segment, what were your thoughts on, after 3 races on the Super Speedway course?
Well, I mean,
configuration. Is the jury still out? Because
we got to wait to see in how Atlanta ages of a track. With the restrictor plate track, you're not going to get NASCAR's made this more restrictor plate with obviously restricting the speeds. So we'll wait and see.
So yeah, but speaking of Denny Hamlin and his penalty from last week, or we didn't even mention it hadn't happened yet last week, but yes, Denny Hamlin was penalized by NASCAR, docked 25 points and $50,000 for his comments that he made on his podcast last week about his incident with Ross Chastain. When I first heard the comments, I didn't think they would lead to any kind of fine or anything after the fact. So when that came out the following day, I was a little bit surprised by that. Were you?
A little bit myself, but I mean, he kind of left that door open of like, well, here, it, you know, he laid it out of like, you know, I was taking him with me. And NASCAR's like, well, we still got time to penalize. That leads our hand. We've penalized people intentionally wrecking drivers. So it's more in line with them and makes sense. But if Denny Hamlin didn't make those comments on his podcast, he likely wouldn't have a penalty in the first place.
Well, I personally don't think Hamlin should have been fined for his comments or for what he did to Chastain. Like, if you take him at his word, he went into the turn one not intending to do that. His car started plowing, and it started sliding up the track. Chastain's there, and he's like, all right, whatever happens, happens. I don't think being fined 2 days later makes, or 3 days later makes a whole lot of sense. Hamlin made a point on his podcast this week that he compared it to if you're like a football player who you commit a penalty in a game on Sunday, it's not called, and then you admit to it in the press 2 days later, and then you get fined for that. So that kind of made sense to me, but I don't think NASCAR needs to be in the business of fining people for comments they said on their podcast 2 days later after the fact. So, but yeah, Denny Hamlin, he is appealing it. I don't think appeals dates have been set, so he's currently without 25 points, but he's still in the top 10 in the point standing, so it's not hurt him greatly like the Hendrick penalties. So, but in other news this week, Jared, we are now 62 days out from what I think is going to be the most exciting, most anticipated weekend of the year with NASCAR's return to North Wilkesboro Speedway in Wilkes County, North Carolina. And as part of the buildup, NASCAR this week is holding two different Goodyear tire tests at the 6.625-mile short track. On Monday, the first people to get a crack at the track were three Truck Series drivers, Carson Osovar, Zane Smith, and Corey Heim. So they got to make their first laps on the track, so making it like the first official NASCAR-sanctioned cars on the track since at least, I want to say, the 2010s. Because I know there's a photo that gets kind of like spread around of Kevin Harvick testing on the track.
And so, the shell car.
So yeah, so that was late 2000s actually, right?
And he'll actually, in the other news, he'll actually be in the 29 car for the All-Star race.
Oh yeah, I completely forgot to make note of that. So we'll get to that. But no, Carson Osovar, Zane Smith, and Corey Heim, they got the test on Monday ahead of the Truck Series race there the day before the All-Star race. So here is what Mr. Osovar had to say about testing at the track.
Very rarely do you ever have a test and you're smiling the whole time and your car didn't handle good and you're slipping and sliding, and you know, it was just fun to drive laps here, let alone have to be performance-wise and have to be on the top of our game. And you know, it's a test, we have to learn and come back, but I just had just as much fun just running laps here and just being in this whole setting and talking to you guys and just being here is something special to me. And it was a lot of fun to just be slipping and sliding and be able to learn a little bit at a time at this place.
And that was Carson Osovar of Nice Motorsports. And here's what Corey Heim of what is his team's name?
Tricon
Garage. Weird name. Here's what Corey Heim of the Tricon Garage had to say about what it felt like driving on the very, very rough pavement at North Wilkesboro Speedway.
Yeah, I feel like we actually learned a lot. We went through a lot of progressions that we would at a typical short track if we had, you know, an all-day test like you used to be able to years ago. I definitely feel like this track is a lot less grip than most people thought it was going to be, including us. We definitely, you know, struggled for grip, especially past lap 25. I think all three trucks really did, and I feel like we've found some things that'll help. But you know, we come back here and basically the summertime, and it's gonna be a lot warmer, a lot more rubber laid down. So I'm looking forward to seeing how that all shakes out. I think a lot of people are gonna be struggling for grip.
All right, and as we are recording this, the Cup Series is also testing at North Wilkesboro. They have also have three cars. That's Chris Buescher from RFK Racing, Tyler Reddick from 2311 Racing, and Austin Dillon from Richard Childress Racing. And again, we are 62 days out from that race. And I'm really, really, really excited about that.
And they had the three different manufacturers, so they picked one car for each manufacturer. So that's why those three drivers were selected. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't just Toyota or just Chevy that were testing North Wilkesboro. It was all three manufacturers.
Yeah, Chris Buescher and RFK Racing, they're Ford. Tyler Reddick in 2311, they are Toyota. And Austin Dillon and Richard Childress Racing, that they are Chevrolet. Thank you, Jared, for reminding me about what was some of the coolest news last week that got dropped on us was Kevin Harvick, who's in the middle of his retirement tour this season, is going to drive his old number, the number 29, which he ran with Richard Childress Racing for 14 years, from 2001 to 2013.
Yep.
So, his original number is 29. They announced last week that he, in the All-Star race, he'll be driving that with the paint scheme that he had when he won his first career cup race at Atlanta Motor Speedway back in 2001, which was 3 weeks after the death of Dale Earnhardt, and he was tabbed to take his place. That car looks so good. I have pre-ordered the diecast. I have.
Bring back the sentiment. I mean, that's what the All-Star race is about. Not the first time this has happened, so why not have some fun in North Wilkesboro with Kevin Harvick and, you know, have a nod to the career that he's had and been in the, you know, Cup Series for 22 years.
Mm-hmm. And he's one of the few people that will be in that All-Star race that can say that they've been on North Wilkesboro before.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if he was in the Truck Series races that were there back in 95 and 96.
I'm not sure. I can't pull that off my head even. But like I said, it's just cool to just bring it all back home for Harvick. You know, this is just a season to remember of, well, you know, this is forever, as he would say. And just bring it back to the roots of Richard Childress Racing.
And that NASCAR All-Star race, that is May 20th, right? May 20th?
Yeah.
May 20th. The weekend, it's the weekend before Memorial Day.
Yeah.
That's when NASCAR returns to the All-Star race. So yeah, that's on my calendar. I'm hoping to actually get to cover it. Hoping. All right, well, that is a wrap-up of the news for this week. Let's get on to our preview of the NASCAR Cup Series race at Circuit of the Americas. All right, so next up for the NASCAR Cup Series is the EchoPart Automotive Grand Prix at Circuit of the Americas in Austin, Texas. This will be the Cup Series' third visit to the 3.41-mile and 20-turn road course. The COTA was first opened in 2012, and it primarily hosted Formula One races and also a couple of IndyCar races, but NASCAR finally made the trip down there for the first time 2 years ago with Speedway Motorsports leasing out the track using one of its track dates. Do you remember what track lost a date for that?
Oh, gosh.
Was it Texas?
I don't think it was Texas. It was, I feel like it was one of the road courses. But, I mean, that's not relevant now, but the Circuit of Americas is definitely, we've both been there.
Yeah.
We covered the races last year, and I'll tell you, it's a beautiful track. I've been to quite a few tracks, and it's very scenic out there, and it just seems like it's in the middle of nowhere. You're in the Texas Plains.
Yeah. There's a soccer pitch in the middle of the facility.
You're just like, there's a racetrack around here, and then you turn the corner, you get in the parking lot, and like, holy cow, there is a big old racetrack right here. So I'm excited. There's a lot of star power coming out this weekend. I will actually be on location for our frontstretch.com. So I will be there Saturday and Sunday, getting the stories, getting the driver interviews, and being our boots on the ground for that.
So yeah, race number five, the first two races at COTA were won by Chase Elliott, who will not be in this weekend's race because he's still recovering from his injury. And last year's race was won by Ross Chastain, who got his first career cup win there. And something we neglected to talk about on our pilot episode when we talked about Ross Chastain was what Ross Chastain does when he wins a race, Jared. And what he does, he's an eighth generation watermelon farmer. So every race on standby, there is a watermelon, which he, when he wins, he climbs up onto the top of his car and smashes it into the ground. And he got to do that the first time in the Cup Series last year. And to commemorate that, Jared, on Friday, the Friday before the race this week, Ross is going to climb up, go up to, there's a tower in the middle of the track. Very, very, very tall observation.
Like 270 feet.
I don't know the exact. It's a lot.
It's quite a few stories, but
I went up there. It was very windy. It was very windy. I almost lost a hat. It was very windy.
I don't like heights.
But it was weird. But no, Ross Chastain is going to be dropping a watermelon from the top of this tower to commemorate his first win last year. People were like joking like a year ago when he won that he should do that, and now he's doing it.
I mean, that's what he's, like I said, he gets to do. And I mean, it's a turnaround for this time last year. This is his first career win, and parlayed it that season to a championship for appearance. And now Ross Chastain is coming back to his first career win. So nice little commemoration. I won't be there to see it, but I can't imagine the watermelon splat, how far that's going to go. That might make it out to turn one.
Maybe. It will be a dangerous area. They're going to have to block it off.
Dangerous but fruity.
And that's the episode title.
No, that's next weekend's, folks. That's when Ross Chastain wins. So, but I think we got to mention too, stages are going to look a little bit differently this weekend.
Yes,
they're going to award stage points for first and second stages, but there will not be a stage break caution flag, which I applaud NASCAR for doing, because part of road course racing is the pit strategy of running races in reverse, and sometimes you can get some pretty wacky pit strategy to take over and win the race. So I'm very applaud with it. I'd like to see it at all the other tracks, but I think it's a good start. Brings the racing a little bit faster, and especially at a road course, you don't want to spend like a couple laps under caution, because that's going to take quite a while. What's your thoughts on?
I'm typically pro stages, like in general. I think they help change things up, but yes, at road courses, yes, they. I'm glad they're doing this, because it reintroduces strategy into it. And we haven't seen a NASCAR race of any kind without stages, without any scheduled cautions, since the 2016 season finale at Homestead.
Let me clarify too. I'm not anti-stages. I'm anti-stage cautions.
I think there's a strong contingent that agrees with you.
Yeah.
That agrees with you. I like stages. I like having the cautions at oval tracks, but no road courses. Yeah, I'm glad they're doing this. It's gonna be we haven't seen this in a while. So yeah. I'm curious, like, if the crews themselves, the drivers themselves, will have to get like reaccustomed to the idea of this, or is it just gonna be like old hat for them?
I think it's gonna be old hat. They're used to like caution flags slowing down, but I think they'll just wave the flag and you just carry on with your day. And I think it'd just be business as usual.
But so this, I haven't looked at the weather yet for down there. Have you?
Supposed to be clear on Saturday. There's 50% chance of rain on Friday and a chance of rain on Sunday, but they do have rain tires and rain equipment to run at these road courses. So theoretically we could be racing in the rain here again.
Yes, the first year that the Cup Series raced at COTA in 2021 was a torrential downpour. Mm-hmm. It was bad. And this was before they did the whole mud flaps and stuff. And so there was rooster tails, which is the spray of water which comes out from behind the car. Drivers couldn't see, and it resulted in horrible wrecks, very dangerous wrecks.
I think it was Truex and Cole Custer were involved in that bad wreck that one
time. There was more than one, I believe.
Yeah, that was the big one that I remember on that. But
yeah, the Truex one, that was ugly. It was very nasty.
But that, like I said, last year was at least pretty uneventful with rain, but we'll have to wait and see how the weather develops. But I'm hoping for clear skies when I get down there, because I've covered quite a few races where it's been rain delay and it's not fun sitting and waiting around.
No, but I'm looking forward to this track, because especially with the way that last year's race ended, with how Ross Chastain got his win in a battle with Alex Bowman and AJ Allmendinger in the last. The last few turns of COTA are very technical turns, so drivers are having to, like, slow down considerably, and because of that, the lead swapped multiple times on the last lap and ended with Chastain bumping Bowman into Allmendinger, or
something like that, but Allmendinger got the short end of that stick, and
went off the track into the dirt.
And Chastain won the race, so
it was an exciting finish.
Yes.
So
like I said, we have one more time. What are predictions? Do you think Ross Chastain is going to do it again, go back-to-back, or do you think somebody else is going to do it?
Okay, so my official pick for the race, I think AJ Allmendinger is going to get some revenge. I think he's going to get the win after what happened at the end of last year, he's been pretty silent so far this year on all the ovals. So I'm pretty sure AJ Allmendinger, who's a former IndyCar driver, also does some sports cars, he's kind of the road course ringer in NASCAR these days. I think he's back full time in the Cup Series for the first time in three or four years.
Quite a few years, and so he's trophy hunting, and I think that's a good pick. I'd like to highlight a dark horse pick. Tyler Reddick. I think he has a decent shot of winning. He performed well here last year with Richard Childress Racing.
Yeah.
Kind of more fell flat in the end, was out of contention of it, but we'll have to see how well 2311 is going to turn, racing is going to turn around this program. Tyler Reddick's a pretty decent road course racer. He ran at Road America last year, so
and the Indy Road Course.
And so the Indy Road Course.
He had two road course.
Yeah, two road course wins. So I think Tyler Reddick would be good dark horse piss. And I wouldn't be surprised if Ross Chastain teammate Daniel Suarez is in contention to win.
He had, I believe, the car to beat. Last year, he pretty much dominated the entire first stage, and then
he got shuffled out. Yeah, and just didn't get back into contention.
I think he had a penalty,
something like that.
Something like that, but no, yeah.
That's what I was saying. Yeah. He got shuffled out.
Yeah. So, but yeah, he dominated the first stage last year. Looked like the car to beat, but then the other Trackhouse car went on one. So I'm excited. NASCAR at COTA Sunday, 2:30 p.m. Eastern on Fox. That's Central Time. So tune in. And that'll do it for this week's episode of Dropping the Hammer. I'm Daniel McFadden. You can reach me at on Twitter at Daniel McFadden, all one word, or you can email me at dmcfadden@adgnewsroom.com. Jared, where can they find you?
They can find me at RealJaredHaas on Twitter.
All right. And thanks again for listening to this episode. Please check out our work at ArkansasOnline.com or FrontStretch.com for our actual weekly NASCAR work. But thanks again for listening to Dropping the Hammer. I'm Daniel McFadden. Take care.